a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Dodie Nordemeyer from the Pier 4 Pier Ministerial Association. Leading our pledge today will be Pages Joanna Olson of Huron, Tina Vaughn of Warner, and Emily Semler of Ipswich.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear God, let us gather together our hope. Help us to let go of attitudes and biases that separate us. Let us recognize and affirm our strengths. Let us be mindful of all the people who have placed their trust in us. May today's deliberations hold sacred what has been given to us. Our task is awesome and our responsibilities are great. We trust in your guidance. Give us your spirit of wisdom. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, will please call the roll.
Abdallah, Blake, Bolin, Boomgarden, Bruner, Carson, Consett, Cronin, Dielstra, Denner, Dryden, Elliott, Fargin, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Hanson, Holly, Hickey, Hoffman, Hubble, Hunt, Hoff, Hunt, Ironclaw, Jensen, Jones, Junkie, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Klocek, Kopp, List, Lucas, Lust, Magstad, Miller, Mosher, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olson, Perry, Romkum, Rosam, Russell, Schaefer, Schrem, Sigdesad, Sly, Solem, Steele, Street, Strickers, Torno, Telson, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Banneman, Banner, Vercio, White, Wick, Willitson, Wink, Wismer, Speaker Roush.
Speaker Roush is here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 34th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Val Roush, Chair.
All those in favor of approval of the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Communications.
March 8th. 2011, Mr. Speaker and members of the House of Representatives, I have the honor to inform you that on March 8, 2011, I approved House Bills 1047, 1056, 1139, 1169, 1216, and 1246, and the same have been deposited in the Office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1141, 1194, and 1233, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1093, 1110, 1235, and 1245, which have been amended by the Senate, and your concurrence in the amendments is respectfully requested. Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Cronin moves that the consideration of Senate amendments on House Bill 1208 be placed to precede Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 on today's calendar.
All those in favor of the Cronin motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Representative Gosch moves that the House do not concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1208 and that a committee of three on the part of the House be appointed to meet with a like committee on the part of the Senate to adjust the differences between the two houses.
Gosch motion haven't been moved and seconded except for debate. Is there any remarks? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just ask the body to send this into a conference committee. We moved it out of the House. The Senate changed it a little bit. We want to have some further discussions and perhaps add a few more things to it. So please vote with me to not adopt and send it to a conference committee. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, all those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Speaker appoints to such committee Representatives Gosch, Nordstrup, and Fargin. Representatives Gosch, Nordstrup, and Fargin. Representative Cronin.
I move we recess until 11:30.
All those in favor of the Corona motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carries. Recess till 11:30. Representative Corona.
Well, the House Republican Caucus will meet in 4:12 at 10:30. Thank you.
Representative Greenfield.
Mr. Speaker, I have an announcement to make, if I might.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today at 2 o'clock in room 414, Bill Harlan will be here from the Sanford Mine discussing the DUSL project. That's the Deep Underground Science and Engineering Lab. So it's a good opportunity for everybody to go ahead and attend that meeting, get a little bit of historical perspective, and then also find out where we're going with the project in the future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, 2 o'clock, 414.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats will reconvene in 464.
Very good. 464, Democrats. Hearing no further announcements, we are in recess. House of Representatives, now come back to order. There being no objection, we'll revert to order business number 6, reports of conference committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee respectfully reports that it has considered House Bill 1248 and the amendments thereto made by the Senate and the disagreement of the two houses thereon, and recommends that House Bill 1248 be amended as follows. On page 1, line 7 of the Senate engrossed bill, delete an underlined December 31, 2012, and insert an underlined July 1, 2013. Respectfully submitted, David Lust, House Committee Chair, and Russell Olson, Senate Committee Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has concurred in House amendments to Senate Bills 33, 35, 44, 133, 173, 176, and 191. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has failed to adopt the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 96, and no new committee was appointed. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has appointed Senators Garnes, Olson, and Frerichs as a committee of three on the part of the Senate to meet with a like committee on the part of the House to adjust the differences between the two houses on House Bill 1208. Respectfully, Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
That conference committee is scheduled for 2:15 p.m. and 4:13. House Bill 1208, Conference Committee, 2:15, Room 413, Representatives Gosch, Norstrip, Fargin, Senators Garnos, Olson, Frerichs. Motions and resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 9, a concurrent resolution memorializing the Congress of the United States to balance the federal budget and hold itself to the same fiscal standards to which it expects its citizens to adhere. Representative Hager moves that SCR 9 be concurred in.
Representative Hager's motion to concur in SCR 9 have been moved and seconded up for discussion. Are there any remarks? Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please join me in urging the Congress of the United States to balance the federal budget. Vote green.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Hager's motion that SCR 9 be concurred in. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members shall proceed to vote.
Representatives Cronin and Mosier. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 63, nays 3.
Representative Hager's motion, having received majority vote of members elect is hereby passed, and SCR 9 is concurred in.
Representative Hunt moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1003.
Representative Hunt's motion has been moved and second. Is up for discussion. Any remarks, Representative Hunt?
Mr. Speaker, this is a bill that's brought to the body by the Interim Rules Committee, and you'll recall that this is the bill that originally directed the Interim Rules Committee to make sure that SDCL 6-15-1 was complied with, which basically meant that if any rule of any agency caused any increase whatsoever in the cost to that particular local agency, that we could not approve that rule. Over on the Senate side, the Senate changed the word unreasonable to interim, or rather nominal cost, and as a result of that, it came out of the Senate with flying colors. I would encourage you to concur in this amendment. I think that it changes one word, but it still provides the Interim Rules Committee with a little bit of flexibility, which is needed in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Hunt's motion that House do concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 1003. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Carson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, nays 3.
Representative Hunt's motion, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed, and we do concur with amendments to House Bill 1003.
Representative Jones moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1044.
Representative Jones' motion having been moved and second, it's up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House. House Bill 1044 deals with obtaining eligible voters in the floodplain district. It passed out of this body a while ago, 70-0. It went then to the local government Senate committee, and it passed 5-0 out of the committee with consent. At that point in time, a senator asked to take this bill off of consent, and we brought it back to the committee to discuss. We did a friendly amendment. It was agreed upon and was passed 7-0 out of the local government committee again with consent. It now has passed the Senate 35-0, and now I ask you to concur on House Bill 1044. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Jones' motion that the House do concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 1044. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you. I'd like the House to recognize my former government teacher from Gettysburg High School, along with the senior class from Gettysburg, some over there and some in the back here. On behalf of my district mate, welcome them to the House.
Please stand.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
Representative Jones' motion having received majority vote of members elect, hereby declared passed, and Senate, and we do concur in the Senate amendments to 1044. Is our doctor of the day in the house? The doctor of the day, not here? If you happen to see him, David Johnson is our doctor of the day from Rapid City. Representative Gosch.
I would move we be in recess until 4 p.m. today.
All those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are in recess till 4 p.m. Any announcements?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Greenfield.
One more reminder about the Dussel presentation at 2 o'clock in room 412, or 414 rather. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Cronin.
House Republicans will caucus at 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats will caucus at 2 o'clock in 464.
2 o'clock, 464. Any further announcements? Thank you. We are in recess. House Representatives will now come back to order. There being no objection, the House will revert to order of business number 6, reports of conference committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee respectfully reports that it has considered Senate Bill, House Bill 1208 and the amendments thereto made by the Senate and the disagreement of the two houses thereon, and recommends that House Bill 1208 be amended as follows. Respectfully submitted, Brian Gosch, House Committee Chair, and Cooper Garnos, Senate Committee Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has concurred in House amendments to Senate Bills 386, 152, 190, and 200. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1248. Respectfully, Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Russell moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1093.
The Russell motion having been moved and seconded, that the House do concur in amendments to House Bill 1093. Representative Russell, remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. The representative from Brookings broke this news to us, I don't know, 15 minutes ago or something. And apparently our Senate, the senator from the Southern Black Hills, had done some things with this bill, which has now essentially been hoghoused, which will assist one school district and one school district only, which is the Elk Mountain School District in Western Custer County. Western Custer County. And essentially what it does is the last couple of sessions, the other representatives from the districts have tried, make Wyoming enter into a compact with us, like many of the other states do in that border South Dakota, in order to get essentially a reasonable rate between the states for exchange of students. Wyoming would not do that with South Dakota because it would benefit essentially just this one district. And so this district is paying over $14,000 per pupil to go to the Newcastle School District, which is only 10 miles away from this school district. So all this does is it eliminates this particular school district from this requirement that they have grades 7 through, that they do not have grades 7 through 12, and that they send those to an out-of-state school district. And what it allow them to do with the Department of Education is to come up with another mechanism in order to provide education, but do it at a much more economical manner. I got on the telephone and was able to confirm with the district that they are, in fact, in favor of this bill, and so I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the previous speaker.
Please state your question.
Representative, I recall when we passed a law a few years ago after the 100-student requirement was put into place, and as it states in, and I'm reading the House Bill 1093, that it's the latest version on the Internet, but it's still in statute, I believe, to exempt out a school that is located at least 25 miles from the nearest high school in an adjoining school district in the state if they're under 100 students. As my understanding at that time, that was the Elk Mountain District. As I read what happened in 1093 today, it's my understanding that it's talking about maybe two schools down by Iowa, Greater Scott and Greater Holt, which do contract with Iowa. And in addition, at that time this legislation went forth, there was another bill that gave the Secretary of Education of South Dakota the authority to negotiate with the Secretary of Education in an adjoining state to work out a tuition agreement. So I'm trying to get to the question that I guess I'm not convinced that I thought Elk Mountain was taken care of, and I thought what was happening was the Greater Scott and Greater Holt districts down by Alcester Hudson. If I'm incorrect on that, and maybe the representative from Canton can address that as well, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
I'll ask the representative from Canton.
Representative Bolin, would you like to answer that question?
I will, Mr. Speaker. The two school districts that you have referenced, they were, you might say, victims of the whole process in the last number of years. One has joined with the Alcester Hudson School District with the opportunity for the students who live in what was the Scott School District to continue to go to the West Sioux School District in Iowa. The other one, the Hoyt School District, has joined with the Elk Point Jefferson School District with the agreement that the students in that particular land area will perpetually have the right to go to the Akron-Westfield School District across the river in Iowa. So beyond that, I can't tell you. It appears that those agreements that were, in a sense, forced on those two little school districts there, those agreements appear to be working well at the present time. But that's the best information I can give you, sir.
Thank you. Representative Lucas, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I guess I would maybe address another question to the representative from Hot Springs then.
Please state your question.
Representatives, then looking at the original law then, it's encompassed in House Bill 1093. If Greater Scott and Greater Holt have been taken care of through their consolidation agreements, I thought Elk Mountain was taken care of. Why do we need this legislation then?
Representative Russell, would you like to answer that question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to the representative from Todd County. That portion of the statute that's being taken out, and I'm reading to you, that contracts with a school district in another state pursuant to 13.15.11 to provide an education of children in grades of 7 through 12 who reside within the district. Now, Elk Mountain School District just goes through grade 6. And this carve-out was done as a compromise when we put in this 100. This is my understanding, that it was put in when they did the 100 per pupil ceiling or floor. And so all this is doing is it's taking out that particular circumstance that applies, in my understanding, exclusively to the Elk Mountain School. Now, there may be other schools that now would be implicated by this, but from the standpoint of what this does, particularly to Elk Mountain School, is it allows them to not have to contract with Newcastle, Wyoming, in order to provide that education. They can work with the Department of Education in order to have some kind of virtual-type classroom, is my understanding.
Thank you. Representative Lucas, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could ask one more question to the representative from Hot Springs.
Please state your question.
Thank you. Representative, my last question would be then, since we passed out, since the House passed out an earlier version of a bill to repeal the 100-student requirement to have a school district, and the Senate chose not to do that. Did you have discussions in the conference committee about going back to just repealing the 100-student mandate and let schools operate as they best see fit? In this case, then, that the Elk Mountain 7 through 12 students could negotiate their virtual school or work out a deal with Newcastle as may be appropriate. Did you have those conversations in the conference committee?
Representative Russell, would you like to answer that question?
If I might, I'd like to defer to Representative Munsterman. This was originally his bill. I, in fact, learned of this probably 15 minutes ago and simply confirmed with the school district that they had engaged in these negotiations.
Thank
and
you.
So I defer to the representative from Brookings.
Representative Lucas, would you your question deferred to Representative Munsterman?
Yes, I would. Thank you,
Representative Munsterman, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, I would. I'll answer it to my best of my ability. I concurred with this amended change without a conference committee. And the reason I did that is because I did think about that. And the reason I did that is because I happened to be in the Senate Education Committee when they heard the repeal of the 100 school or less. And I felt that at this particular point in time, they had hoghoused, you know, my original bill to try to fit the needs of the Elk Mountain kids. And to give them more opportunities to try to take care of their educational needs rather than just relying on an out-of-state, you know, Wyoming take-it-or-leave-it type of deal. And so that's why I did not pursue that past that point.
Thank you. Representative Lucas, you still have the floor.
Well, thank you. Very conciliatory on your part, but just remember there's 70 of us and 35 of them, all in fun. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Russell's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1093. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schaefer.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
I'd like to introduce my wife, Gloria, my daughter, Tanya, and my son-in-law, Bart Ness, and their three children. You've met Dara, you've met Calder, and back behind is Bridger in the wheelchair with a broken leg. So this is my family. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome.
Representatives Miller and Wismer. Representative Miller. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 59, nays 11.
The Russell motion, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby passed, and we do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1093.
Representative Lust moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1110.
Representative Lust's motion has been moved and seconded. It's open for debate. Is there any remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, well, House Bill 1110 started out as a vehicle bill at the beginning of this session. It's had a long, arduous journey from body to body, and now it comes back to us. Not as a vehicle for something that originally wasn't intended, but a good vehicle nonetheless. This is the money that we are going to provide to our school districts to, as we've often heard, soften the blow from the budget cuts this year. It's our way of recognizing that this is not an easy task in cutting education, and we've worked hard through the appropriations process and through our committee process to find a way to help the school districts. We've heard their pleas for assistance, and this is our response. It may not be as much as many of us would like, but it is a prudent course to take, and it's what we have available to us. 1110 allocates $12.2 million to school districts that will be circulated through the PSA vehicle, not through the formula. It's one-time money that they can use again to minimize the budget cuts that we've proposed.
when taken in concert with Senate Bill 152, the net cut for school districts is 6.6%, quite a ways from 10%. But this bill represents what we can do now, what's realistic within our fiscal means, and I would ask your strong support for House Bill 1110. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, we do appreciate this bill. The public should know, however, that that we're doing this by using one-time funds. And remember, when we started this session, I believe the whole budget process has been operating under a false premise that we needed to end the structural deficit in 1 year, as if we were going to fix our budget problems forever and ever, or at least for the immediate future. And obviously, that was an impossibility. What many of us proposed, and I think someone both sides of the aisle suggested, let's come up with a common sense, three-year plan, long range in government, three-year plan to end the structural deficit using one-time funds, using whatever sources of revenues we could come up with, and this is as good a source as any, so that we can move out of the structural deficit, not damage the economy, not hurt our schools, not raise property taxes, and in case of Medicaid, not raise health insurance premiums, not raise tuition. This is the way we should have been operating all session long, but instead we've been operating on a false premise. So the public should know we've softened the cuts somewhat, not a lot. I think the majority leader said this will take it down to 6.6%, but we'll be back to 8.6% by the time we reconvene next session. So we still have a serious problem on our hands, and we need to figure out some solutions together. Democrats, Republicans, the governor's office, we need to come together on a multi-year plan with the proper premise that we need to do it together and do it in a way that builds up South Dakota's economy. That's what really this is all about. Education is our best investment. We appreciate that these funds are going to this source. Sometimes there are no good decisions to be made in a legislature like this. You just operate the best you can. This is a small step in the right direction. If we can do a few more things like that, we did something for Medicaid yesterday. If we can do this today, find a few more amendments that we can agree on, we can really come out of this about as best as could be expected. So we appreciate this step. I think we need to get away from that false idea that we can fix anything in 1 year. It's a multi-year approach working together. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Liss.
Mr. Speaker, a question for the sponsor.
Please state your question.
When the schools have other revenue sources, and when those are considered, what is the size of this cut? Is that approximately 3.7% cut?
Representative Lust, would you like to answer that question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question, Representative. That is correct. When you consider all the revenue sources that schools have, the net effect on an average statewide of the what we did yesterday with 152 and what we're doing today with 1110 will be about in that 3.6% range for a cut.
Thank you. Representative Lewis, you still have the floor. Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Klocek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm members of the body. I rise in support of House Bill 1110. I have an update for you. It wasn't 449 postcards we got the other day. Total, as of this morning, 687 postcards from people throughout South Dakota that I've received in support of no cuts for education funding. And I believe there's a little bit of game playing in the last remarks. Those 10%, now reduced down to 6.6%, are of cuts of money that we have given to the schools from the state in that K-12 formula. That is a huge difference, and that's a huge impact. And it's still not where we need to be, but it's a good first step. I applaud the majority leader and majority party for trying to find this one-time money, but it's like putting a Band-Aid on a very, very deep wound. It's going to maybe stop the bleeding for a little while, but it's not going to really heal anything. So with that, I will vote for this, but I do think we must and we shall do better for our children in South Dakota. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm members of the body.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Dennard.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. All I wanted to do is remind the body that if we get through this year with the one-time funds, next year education is going to be rebased, 8.6% down, and they're rebasing. Another thing I want to remind you of, although there's other revenue involved, a lot of that other revenue cannot be used for general fund expenses. It cannot pay the heat bill, the teacher's salaries, and whatever. So just reminding the body of that and the listening audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Lust's motion that the House do concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 1110. This will be a two-thirds vote, appropriation. All those in favor of that motion will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69, nays 1.
The last motion, having received two-thirds vote, the members-elect is hereby declared passed, and we do concur in the Senate amendments, House Bill 1110.
Representative Lust moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1235.
Representative Lust's motion that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1235 have been moved in second. It's open for discussion. Are there any remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, once again, one of my bills suffered a different fate than I had anticipated. Just like 1110, House Bill 1235 was hoghoused in the Senate. Originally, House Bill 1235, and I appreciate the support of this body in passing it out the first time, was to compel a study of the higher ed delivery system in this state. And it now has become a different vehicle. What we have in front of us today in House Bill 1235 is still about higher education. What this does is appropriates $1.5 million, one-time money, to the Board of Regents to create a performance improvement fund. And the idea of behind the performance improvement fund is to improve post-secondary students' academic success, resulting in more graduates who will stay in South Dakota to live, work, and raise their families. There's a complete structure intended for this fund. It will be a revolving fund, so it's not as though this money, this one-time money, the impact will disappear in 1 year. I think there's an intention to bring best practices and ideas from the institutions, the higher ed institutions, and hopefully implement those system-wide if they're appropriate. The fund, the grants from this fund will be implemented by a panel of experts to include state leaders, hopefully some from this body, that will evaluate the various proposals. This is somewhat of a tandem bill with 1110. We gave $12.2 million to K-12. This represents an acknowledgement of the significant cuts being imposed on the Board of Regents in an effort not so much to soften the blow on those cuts, but to provide an incentive or a vehicle for the system to improve from within. I think it represents a good balance of cutting and what we're proposing going forward. You know, and I also would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the approach the Board of Regents has taken with the legislature the last few years. It's been very forthright in coming up with cuts, and they certainly did that last year. They're taking their cuts this year. We haven't heard a lot of the dismay and getting a lot of the emails and disapproval of the proposed cuts. And I attribute that to the leadership of the Board of Regents, and I commend them for that. So with that, I would ask the body do concur with the Senate amendments in allowing us to provide some one-time funds for the Board of Regents for ongoing improvements of delivery of higher ed in the state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also ask the body to vote green to concur. Having spent some time with the Regents recently, knowing their intent to use this money, and there are other plans that are underway. When we talk about economic development, there are very few things that that we need worse than, or we need more than well-educated youth. Earlier this year, the colleges had told us that, you know, the research says that within a few years, we're going to need 60% of our population to be college educated. Without investing some money in our colleges, that's never going to happen. We've cut them 2 years in a row pretty severely, and in the time that we've done that, there's been 3,300 more kids enroll in these colleges. So they're, I think they've leaned down substantially. I think they do a good job. But this $1.5 million certainly goes a long ways towards identifying problems that they have and making those corrections. So I would just urge this body to put aside any thoughts that you've had about a bloated regional system. I don't think it's that way anymore. I'm not sure it ever was. But I think this is a good investment in our future, and I would urge the body to vote green.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Klocek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the Honorable Majority Leader.
Please state your question.
Yes, sir. How would could you give us just one or two specific examples of how this money would be used? And then if there's a percentage, like when a farmer makes a profit or a small businessman and they spend that profit in the town, it generates 7 to 12 times it turns over in that community. Would there be any percentages of return on this $1.5 million investment, A and B? Could you give me some specific examples about how this money would be used?
Representative Lust, would you like to answer? I believe there's a couple of questions in there.
Well, yes, Mr. Speaker, I can certainly answer one. As far as how much it cycles through the community, I do not have an answer for that, but I wouldn't think it would be any different than any other investment we make in education, be it at the K-12 or the higher ed level. As for specific examples of what this will do, you know, and that's something I didn't mention the first time, what it will be used for in a large degree is to leverage these dollars to get matching dollars at the federal level for research projects through grant match funds, as well as to advance high-tech research, primarily in the wind energy, biofuels, and medical research and financial services area. I have an outline of the proposal here by the Board of Regents, which was presented to the Appropriations Committee earlier this session. I'd be happy to provide that to the previous speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Klocek, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and all members of the body.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I think that we have to have, I know this is going to pass here today, but we need to have a recognition that, or at least some kind of a statement as to where we're going. This bill was originally a study vehicle that essentially spun off of a proposal to privatize probably the most prestigious institution that we have in the state of South Dakota that's been around for 125 years. And we're now up, on my count, to essentially 8 freestanding entities in this state that are providing higher education with their own infrastructure, brick and mortar. And we've got 700,000 people, close to 800,000. Now, I understand that some think that we need to look at this in a vacuum, that we don't want to look at this outside of the specific appropriation that we're making here. But I think that we would be remiss if we didn't at least think about the fact that we have 8 institutions in our state that that we added 2 within the last 8 years, that we have taken $26 million in federal stimulus money in the last year that was to go to K-12 education and spend it, and that we are giving of the $14 million that we have found in better revenue projections. We're taking $1.6 million and we're giving it to the regions for a new fund where almost all of the growth in state government has gone on in the past 8 years. We added, I don't know if we're above 2,000 FTEs in higher ed or if it's just 1,000 FTEs that keeps coming up. But the bottom line is we as a state have to determine what we're doing in terms of our higher education, that we really don't have a great deal of control. This body doesn't have a great deal of control over higher education in this state and the direction in which we're going in. And we don't know what we're doing. Every year we have a bill that talks about closing one of our institutions that has been around for over 100 years. And here we're taking what I think is money that belongs in K-12. We've ratcheted down K-12 in this legislative session. It impacts everybody in this state. I commend the fact that we're giving an additional $12 million to K-12. But to take this $1.6 million and give it to the regents when they've had all of the growth in the past 10 years that they've had, I think is somewhat irresponsible. And for that reason, I will be voting no. I know that this is going to pass. But it shouldn't pass through this body without somebody talking about the fact that we have essentially let this particular entity of government grow and grow and grow on our watch during the last 10 years. And for that, I will be voting no. And I hope that we will consider this in the future as to what the original meaning of this bill 1235 was. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 49.6% of South Dakota's higher ed students do not have a degree after 6 years of going to school. 49.6%. That's a road to nowhere for half of our students. What I'd like to see us do is go back to the drawing board and perhaps next year tie in, like, say, a certain percent, 5%, 10% of funds for the Board of Regents to an increase in our students graduating. I think there needs to be that kind of an incentive. I too, will be voting no on this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One thing we have not heard a lot about this year is the great technical institutions that South Dakota has. When we talk about the bang for the buck, these institutions are the best deal South Dakotans have going. But when you look as far as the state support per student averaging out, the South Dakota kids going to the technical institutions are getting raw into the deal. And they don't have anybody up here advocating for them. So oftentimes they get forgotten in the whole scheme of things. Instead of sending this to the Board of Regents, whom we cannot get any assurances out of as far as the what's going to happen with the tuition rates over the next couple of years. To be honest with you, I'm not happy with our Board of Regents. And I respectfully disagree that there might not be a little bit of bloated system there. When we've got people there making three times the salary of the governor of the great state of South Dakota, I'd have to disagree. I'm not willing to go green on this, to send more money to a system that I think needs to be fixed. Especially when we've got great schools in the technical institutions that are working, that are providing solid results for South Dakota, that could use this money to further exemplify what an advanced education in South Dakota should look like. So for that reason, I'd ask you to go red and let us consider putting this money to the technical institutions. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Venner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I need a box because I think I was up first last time, but it seems like these giant representatives get me. I agree with everything the good representative from the Black Hills said, except for the fact that this legislation is going to pass. I'm not sure that it will. I too am going to resist this, and
Again, my giant friend back here is right. We've seen a lot of briefings this session about comparing our education systems, the tech schools and the higher ed, and where the jobs are in the future. And we all know that the jobs that are going to be that we're going to need to fill are going to need to be filled by tech school grads, a large number. I think our tech schools are being totally ignored here, and I agree that this money would be better spent if we keep it in K-12 or give it to the tech schools. I'm going to resist this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm offended on several levels by this conversation. To suggest that the Board of Regents is being rewarded for being nice and not complaining about the cuts that they have suffered is highly offensive. They need to be talking about the cuts they are suffering because they are extreme. If any of you had come up to hear the college students that came to visit us several times during this session, you would have heard about the cuts that they're taking. And they're not in bloated administrations. They are in important professors, people who have brought millions of dollars of grants to this state, who are leaving because they see no future and no support. We are losing professors to the private sector, who have given up on South Dakota's commitment to higher education. You can talk about their lack of success in graduating people in a certain amount of time. That is valid. I think they're working on that. But do not stand on this floor and talk about a bloated Board of Regents that doesn't know how to spend money efficiently, because that is simply not accurate. And it is doing a terrible disservice to the professionals who are running that system. And if you're saying things like that, it is only because you are not participating enough in the discussion. You're not going to the campuses. You're not listening to the students. You're not seeing the professors that are leaving. You're not aware of the programs that have been cut. We cannot continue to knock higher education in this manner and expect this state to continue to advance in its economic development. And I plead again, please go to your local institutions and understand better what it is they're doing and what they can no longer do because of the funds that we have cut them in the last few years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Dielstra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor?
Please state your question.
There's been a lot of talk about growth in their gentle system. Can you elaborate as to why it's grown?
Representative Lust, would you like to answer that question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do. Well, the growth has been due to the growth in the student body. And a lot of the growth we've seen has not been general fund dollar growth. The FTE number that gets thrown out there as some sort of boogeyman is not tied to general funds. It's tied to research grants and other sources of revenue, and it shows the expansion and growth of our student body and the response that the Board of Regents has had to that. So to the presumption that because there's been growth in FTEs and the Board of Regents is some reflection on their receipt of federal of general fund dollars is simply erroneous. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Representative Dielstra, you still have the floor. Thank you. Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no doubt that the Board of Regents is an honorable board and that they have done a good job. I don't think anybody in here would deny that. And so from that standpoint, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I don't believe the Board of Regents is doing a good job. What I am going to remind this body is that state employees who are also doing a good job haven't had a raise in 3 years. We may want to keep that into consideration. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully yield my time to the prime sponsor.
Representative Lost, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I'd like to clarify something. I may have misspoke. I didn't in any way mean to insinuate that this is somehow a reward for the Board of Regents not complaining. I did mean to insinuate is that it is an acknowledgement of their forthright approach to the budgeting process over the last couple of years, so I do want to clarify that. As for the comments from my colleague from Hot Springs, I find them curious at best. After we heard a recitation about how many institutions we have at the higher ed level, he proceeded to pay homage, I would guess, to the original intent of 1235, which was the study of the higher ed system and how we're going to deliver higher ed in the future. What he failed to mention is that he voted against that the first time through. So I find it a little disingenuous now for someone to get up on the body who didn't support the idea of studying the higher ed system and how we deliver it to somehow say, this isn't the right approach. We should be studying the higher ed system and how we deliver it because it's not working. And clearly the representative from Hot Springs can read the headlines on my original proposal about School of Mines, but perhaps he did not read the actual article, which did not talk about privatization, but instead pursuing something along the lines of a charter university by giving our institutions of higher ed more autonomy and independence. That aside, this is a good bill. It represents the opportunity to create a fund that the Board of Regents will use to enhance economic development, to improve our higher ed system. We need to move in this direction. We have limited funds. $1.5 million is certainly not going to solve the world's problems. It's not going to solve the Board of Regents' problems. But it does represent our interest in moving the higher ed debate forward, allowing them to use some funds to enhance research and for the betterment of students in those institutions. I would ask that you concur in the Senate amendments. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none. Question being, Representative Lust's motion that the House do concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 1235. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members shall proceed to vote. This is an appropriation. It is a two-thirds vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 57, nays 13.
The last motion having received two-third majority vote of the members elect hereby declared passed, and we do concur in the amendments, House Bill 1235.
Representative Carson moves that the House do concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 1245.
Carson motion have been moved and seconded. It's up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1245 was on the floor a couple of weeks ago. Basically, what the House Bill 1245 did was totally eliminate the assistance the great state of South Dakota gives to our veteran service officers. We sent it over to the Senate. The Senate reinstated $146,000, which is what the county portion of the veterans officers' pay is. They stripped out of that bill, they stripped out the food and travel. I would think that this is a relatively good bill, a step in the right direction at this point in time. I would ask you to concur on this vote. It came off the House floor at 36-33. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would totally agree with the previous speaker to concur in the Senate amendments to 1245. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative White.
Thank you, sir. These funds are essential, I think, to maintain give adequate funding for the veterans of each one of our communities and our counties. And I hope that you would join me in voting green. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Hawley.
I would just like to send a letter of appreciation to the Senate for the enlightenment that they brought to our house now, it seems like. Thank you.
That letter will not be going over there. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Carson's motion that the House do concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 1245. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
Representative Carson's motion, having received all the votes of the members-elect, is hereby passed, and we do concur in the Senate amendments to 1245.
Representative Lust moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 10 a.m. on Thursday, March 10th, the 36th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Consideration of reports of conference committees.
Representative Lust moves that the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1248 be adopted.
Representative Lust's motion has been moved and seconds up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Turbeville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Well, House Bill 1248, in its original form, repealed the June 30th, 2011 sunset clause on the 1/2 cent increase in the tourism tax that was passed in 2009. This bill passed out of House State Affairs 12-1 and the House floor 64-3. The Senate amended the bill to retain the sunset and move to December 31st, 2012, which would have created a six-month period of time during which there would have been a shortfall of funding for the South Dakota Arts Program, the Tourism's Matching Dollar Challenge Marketing Program, and would have also closed the Archaeological Research Center. A compromise has been reached that will move the sunset to July 1st, 2013. I ask this body to adopt the report to the conference committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hanhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also want to rise in support of the bill. I think this is two years ago we passed a tourism tax that was really badly needed and fixed a real budget problem 2 years ago. The only way we could do it was to do it as a two-year tax, so we sunsetted it. We need to recreate the tax, and I really appreciate the bipartisan support to do this. It's important to tourism, to the Arts Council, to the History Department. It's just a good bipartisan effort to fund these things and get them off the general fund, so I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Lust's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1248 be adopted. Please state your point.
This would take a two-thirds vote, as I would understand.
The Speaker is ruling this a simple majority. Tax is already in place. We're merely extending the sunset.
I don't think you can extend the sunset. I would challenge the ruling of the Speaker.
It is.
We'll have to stand up in a minute. It's a debatable motion. We'll get to debate it first.
Speaker is being challenged on a ruling. Is that seconded? This will be a voice vote.
I believe it's a debatable motion.
Very good. Please.
Okay. And I'll
be brief. Moved and second, please. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate this. And I know we have a lot of important things to deal with today. I do think this is important, and it will not take us very much time. I mean, you can't repeal a sunset in this body any more than you can repeal a sunset outdoors or a sunrise. A sunset is a sunset. It ends a tax. We're creating a new tax, one I support, and I want you to vote for it. But this is important for precedent in this body. We clearly, 2 years ago, created a two-year tax, and we ended it. That was the intent of the legislature. There's simply no way you can extend a sunset. The date was set. And if nothing passes in this legislature, obviously the tax ends on July or June 30th, I believe. So that is done with. Whatever we do creates a new tax, and I would just ask for your support. Not a pro and con on the bill. Again, I support the bill, but I also support precedence and tradition and history in this body, and this is an important measure. This is the way we've done business in this body for a long time. If you look in the, it's in our Constitution. It's not just in statute or in rules. It's in our Constitution, in Article 11, Sections 13 and 14. A vote required to impose or increase taxes, the rate of taxation imposed by the state of South Dakota in regard to any tax may not be increased or no new tax may be imposed. And I'm editing this for time without a two-thirds vote of the members elect of each branch of the legislature. That is really clear. We created a two-year tax, and we ended it. We're creating a new tax today. Please, let's support the Constitution, support precedent in this legislature. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I disagree with the former speaker's analysis of the law, I don't think anyone can stand up here and say that removing a sunset or extending a sunset is the creation of a new tax. We voted two-thirds when we implemented that tax with a sunset. That was its two-thirds moment, if you will. And this body voted two-thirds at that time. To continue it, to change the date for another 2 years, is not a new tax. It's not the creation of a new tax. It may be the extension of an existing tax, but it's not a new tax. The whole purpose of having a two-thirds vote is so that we as a body, two-thirds of us, obviously, vote to impose a tax. We did that. That bill had that chance, and we voted two-thirds at that time. To extend the deadline is not a new tax, should not require two-thirds vote, and I agree with the ruling by the Speaker.
Further remarks? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I think the first time we voted on this bill, it was 64-3. And that was a complete removal of the sunset. This bill, as we have it before us today, puts a sunset back on for an additional 2 years. So, in some sense, the point of order is moot because we passed it with such overwhelming support the first time around. Support the Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the representative from Yankton. I think it's quite clear in the Constitution when it talks about the rate of the tax. And once this tax was sunsetted, it went back to what it was, which was 1%, an additional 1%. And now we're increasing that to 1.5%. That's what the sunset does. I know there's a representative from Rapid that argued that same point, and he agrees with me when he voted for that. He says when you extend that sunset, it becomes a permanent tax. If we hadn't voted on this originally, the tax would have went back to 1%, and now we've increased it to 1.5%. And while I agree with the intent of increasing this tax to 1.5, it is needed, but we need to be concise and clear that we honor what's intended in the Constitution as far as increasing the rate of taxation. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Hubble.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I speak to the bill or just the two-thirds versus the majority?
That's where on the his challenging the chair's ruling.
Okay. I wish to speak to the bill when that's available. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, here the procedure will be that the motion will read, Representative Hunhoff moved to appeal the ruling of the chair, the speaker. The question being, shall the decision of the speaker be sustained? If you support the speaker, you will vote yay. If you support the motion to appeal that, you will vote nay.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. So the question being, shall the decision of the chair be sustained? All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Unhoff.
Representatives Greenfield, Liss, and Nelson. Representative Greenfield.
Excuse me.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 49, nays 19.
The question being, shall the decision of the chair be sustained? Receiving majority vote of the members elect is hereby sustained. Speaker's ruling is simple majority. Question being, on whether to adopt the committee report from 1248, the Lust motion. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Greenfield votes aye. Representative Boomgarden. Representative Boomgarden. Representative Bruner. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, nays 2.
The Lust motion, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed, and the House does adopt the committee report on 1248.
I believe that's it. If you don't want to, take the vote.
Announcements. Hearing none, the Speaker has several acts to sign. The act to permit the Interim Rules Review Committee to revert. Revert if the rule imposes certain costs. An act to revise certain water project district voter eligibility provisions. An act to repeal certain provisions related to the purchase of firearms by out-of-state residents. An act to allow certain adult children overseas to vote in the state. An act to establish the date to begin absentee voting and to revise the deadline of for the printing of the ballots. An act to provide for the identification of the law applicable to certain claims for damages. An act to establish the State of South Dakota Endowment Fund. An act to extend a certain protection against precipitous eviction to certain long-term tenants at will. an act to establish a task force on teen driving safety. An act to limit the liability from damages caused by certain aviation products. An act to authorize the use of tribal identification cards as an equivalent to certain state-issued documents for identification purposes. An act to revise certain provisions regarding the consumption of distilled spirits in public and to provide certain penalties for consumption of alcoholic beverages. An act to allow non-public schools accredited by certain accrediting agencies other than the Department of Education to become members of South Dakota High School Athletic Association. An act to require school boards to approve pickup locations for any open enrolled student who are transported in the resident school districts by receiving school districts. An act to apply certain provisions concerning actions for recovery of damages for personal injury or death to municipal officers, employees, and volunteers. An act to repeal an outdated provision regarding the assessment of property for school districts. An act to authorize the Secretary of State to promulgate rules concerning lobbyist registration fees, to impose a penalty for failure of timely file lobbyist and lobbyist employer reports, and to repeal certain provisions concerning lobbyists who fail to comply with certain requirements. An act to revise the grandfathering provisions and renewal requirements of massage therapy licensure. An act to authorize counties to issue additional on-sale license for facilities located in hunting preserves. An act to create Wind Energy Competitive Advisory Task Force and to provide for the appointment of task force members. Any announcements? Hearing none, Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Second!
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye!
Opposed, nay?
No!
Motion carries.